Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
A lot of people want some apologies on our Caleb Williams stance.
It wasn't necessarily week 16 for even the guys that, you know, have been playing ball for 10, 15 plus years. This, you know, it's always going to be a little rough patch.
I don't believe that what happened on Sunday night, putting all of it on his lap, is fair. And I don't think that's happening necessarily in Chicago. Maybe not to the degree that I expected, which is good, which is excellent.
It's happening in other places.
I think it's the offense overall. You're the Vegas expert, but I'm just saying, probably.
How am I the Vegas expert?
I'm not.
They call you Mr. Vegas.
They don't call me that.
They call you Vegas Haw.
Vegas Haw. Vegas Haw.
Oh, he just triggered me now.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Deep breaths. I'm just not going to get triggered today. I'm not going to get triggered today.
Let's go.
Good Wednesday morning, Chicago. It's Mully and Haw Show. David Haw, Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. Not going to get triggered today. We are Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, talking Bears, Cubs, White Sox, everything else until 10 o'clock. Good morning, Ruthie.
Good morning, David Haw. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome.
Bright early of the morning. Actually, quite dark outside still.
It's dark. It's gloomy. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to the morning show.
I told you I'm nervous about this show.
Because it's not, you have filled in a few times capably in the afternoon.
Yes. And this is the serious show.
This is the serious show.
This is the scary, serious show.
And how so?
You guys are just so serious in the morning. I guess maybe it's too early to be like happy.
Well,
you know,
in many ways, it's the post-game show for a lot of stuff that happens at night.
Totally.
And there are, seems like, more things you got to get to.
Right.
First thing in the morning. There's almost like a to-do list for the show.
Sure. Nothing's new yet today.
In the afternoon, don't they just sit around and drink bourbon all afternoon?
I know, and Wani's here, and he's saying crazy things.
Yeah, it's a different dress code. It's a different vibe. They talk about vibes all the time. So yeah. I know. So we're the serious show. How would you describe the afternoon show then? If this is the serious show, what are they? The soiree show?
They're the fun show. No, I'm just kidding. Show? I'm just teasing. No, they're the a little loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
A little looser. I think as you go throughout the day, the shows get a little looser, which is as it should be, I think.
As it should be. Yeah. We kind of try to keep the train on the tracks here for a while. And
all right, I'll be on my best behavior.
You don't have to be on your best behavior. You need to be natural. Just be yourself. I don't know if we're always serious. I think sometimes we get a little bit triggered quickly.
Right.
That this may be the show that gets triggered quickly. Like the intro Brandon Fryer put together. I don't remember when that was, but that could be any given day.
A lot of triggering.
There's a lot of triggering going on. Last night, I was triggered by the Cubs. Last night, the Cubs lost 4-3. They lost 4-3 to the A's, and I think unofficially this is probably the seventh time we've unofficially ended the season, but I think this time we really mean it.
Yeah.
Last night was bad. 4-3 losers to the A's. And I think the way that the game ended was like a wow moment. Back during the All-Star break, you might recall, the serious show, we were pushing for the Cubs, like a lot of people in town, to trade for Mason Miller, the closer for the A's. The A's wanted a king's ransom to trade him. Now we know why.
Mm.
Seeing is believing. And last night, Mason Miller he topped 100 miles per hour. Not only topped 100 miles per hour, that's Paul Skeens stuff. He made Paul Skeens stuff look tame because Mason Miller threw 103 mile per hour fastball Ian Happ deposited into the bleachers. That was his 25th home run. The fastest pitch that was hit for a home run since StatCast, I think, in the last 7 years, I think.
Wow.
And then he struck out Seiya Suzuki with a 104 mile per hour fastball to end the game. That's wicked stuff. That's nasty stuff.
And a dagger.
And I think the dagger. Because now, I mean, you can look at the standings if you want, but doesn't look good.
Mm-mm.
Six back with however many to play. Where are the Cubs? Six back. Brother. 77 and 74, chasing the Mets. The Mets are hot. The Mets are on fire. So the Cubs seem like they're done.
I think they've been done for a long time, and a lot of people are a little deluded. This is not a playoff team. They're not able to win in these situations and these types of games. And I think a lot of people have known that for a long time. They don't deserve to be in the wild card.
Well, they don't deserve to be in the wild card because they've lost too many one-run games. They don't have a closer to speak of, and they've not had one all season long since Adbert Alzolay got injured. And, yeah, they have squandered too many opportunities. Ian Happ's home run was the fastest pitch hit for a homer since 2008. So that's quite a feat.
Mm.
And he definitely got all of it. But I don't know if you can just say that they're not a playoff team. I think that they're going to be better. They could end up better than they were last year. Last year they won 83 games. This year they could win 85 games and still be on the outside looking in. Still not good enough. Still kind of – a couple things happened yesterday that made me wonder about why I'm still watching the Cubs. And Michael Busch was the NL Player of the Week because he had a good week at the plate. There was a left-hander on the mound in the sixth inning. And he pinch hit Patrick Wisdom for Michael Busch. These are the kind of things when you still are watching the Cubs that make you kind of crazy watching the Cubs. I don't get it. I don't know why they don't trust Michael Busch. At some point in time, won't he be good enough to not get pinch hit for, especially with Patrick Wisdom in the sixth inning? I don't know. Do you watch games that way? I watch games and I feel like, why am I watching this?
Oh, yeah. That definitely happens. I think especially in September, you know, when you're frustrated by a team and then you're given this false hope over and over and over again and then shot back down. I think you sit there and you're like, why do I do this to myself? And I think it's very valid, everything you're feeling. This feels like a little bit of a therapy session for you right now, and I just want to validate it.
Thank you.
And let you know that it's okay to feel this way.
Thank you. I think there's a hint of mockery in there. That's
No. We're sports fans. This is what we do. I mean, you need to talk it out.
Well, watching the Cubs is an exercise in frustration.
Yeah.
And lately, futility, because they are not a team that is living up to its potential, and it has been like that all season long. I was on Stacey King's Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast last night. Mark Schanowski and Stacey King, it was a lot of fun. They're dropping it later today. And I was trying to articulate exactly what it was about the Cubs that sometimes drives me so crazy. And I know they don't have the big bat, and I know they don't have the closer, and I know why they are where they are. But at times this summer, I said this last night, and I think I'm repeating it again because I think this is our therapy session. Thank you, Ruthie.
You're welcome.
Dr. Ruthie?
Dr. Polinsky. That's okay. Actually my dad.
Okay.
Dr. Polinsky.
So I think at times I felt like the Cubs of the two teams in Chicago are the most disappointing of the two, and that means they're more disappointing than the worst team in baseball history.
Well, when you're taking on the roller coaster.
Is that overstating it?
I think that's valid. I think when you have the two teams to compare it to, the White Sox, you're looking at, you've known what this is. And then the Cubs suck you back in and they try to make you think that this could be, things could be different.
It's a season long
tease. Yeah, it's like you're the ex that you break up with. And then they bring you back. They tell you, I promise I'm going to change. I promise I'm going to be different. and then the same thing happens again.
I thought the Cubs would be different this year. I thought they were going to be a playoff team. Dustin, did you get triggered as I did when they pinch hit for Michael Busch, the NL Player of the Week, in the sixth inning with Patrick Wisdom?
There had been something that the computer told them to do, right? That's all that could be. I mean, Busch has pop, so it's not like Busch has no pop, right?
Plus, he's hot.
Oh no, I agree.
He's hot.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to bring in Patrick Wisdom, when's the last time we've seen Patrick Wisdom out there? It's been a little bit.
It's been a little while.
So I don't know. And we talked about it pre-game. Like, could he be asked about that? Could he walk us through it?
I don't think he was asked about that. I think by the time that the game was over, people were mesmerized by the 104-mile-per-hour fastball that struck out Seiya Suzuki in the ninth inning from Mason Miller. And it was like, okay. Mm. His reaction needed no translation. That was like a wow. I didn't see that pitch. Strike three. Sit down. Go home. Six back. Season over.
You guys go back to the point, if you were in a playoff game, would you have done that? And essentially, that was a playoff game for the Cubs last night.
Would
you have pinch hit for the NL Player of the Week in a playoff game in the bottom of the sixth inning?
No.
I don't think you would have.
It's been the playoffs for them.
Every game.
You got to win.
Survive in advance. So
to be fair, they didn't lose because of Patrick Wisdom. I mean, that's not why they lost the game.
No, I'm not saying that. How do you know that, though? I mean,
yeah,
Michael
we don't
Busch
know for sure, but they lost because Jordan Wicks left too many pitches over the middle of the plate.
A little disappointed in Jordan Wicks lately. He has been the guy who hasn't had it. I don't know where he fits into the 2025 rotation, but he did not have it last night. 4 runs, 7 hits, and 5 innings. Ugh. The big news, we'll get to this during the pick six, but the big news yesterday, I think it was on the midday show that Justin Steele broke the news or hinted at it, that he's coming back. He's pitching today.
Surprising. For a lot of reasons.
What was the biggest one to you?
Why?
Exactly. Thank you.
What's the point?
It's a great one-word answer.
And I think we were talking about it, but I think especially with the result of last night, don't you just want to sit for a little bit?
I don't know why they would bring him back. He had elbow tendonitis. That means his elbow was injured. You're coming back from an elbow injury. You're the ace of the staff. You've got 2 starts left, possibly. I'm not quite sure why he would be motivated to come back and risk aggravating it again, going into the offseason, tweaking something that has been a problem. Doesn't make much sense to me.
It doesn't make much sense, and I think you got to give him credit. Obviously, he probably is... You know, he knows what he wants and he knows what he needs. And I'm sure he's a competitor. He wants to play. But at this point in the season, on September 18th, when you're a handful of games out of the wild card, what are we doing?
It's a good question. I'm not quite sure. So the Cubs lose to the A's. Yes, lose to the A's. They go for the final game in the series, the rubber match, if you will. 12:45 pregame, 1:20 here on the Score. Justin Steele on the mound. The White Sox. White Sox were shut out again, yet again. Lost number 116. They're now 4 shy of the 1962 New York Mets. This is the less disappointing team in town.
Watch them win out. Watch them.
Well, if they win out, that would be remarkable. They're not going to win.
No.
So they're 36. they're 80 games below 500 once again. And shut out for the 19th time, which makes Jeff Passan's story on ESPN.com an excellent read for anybody still interested in the White Sox. He spent 24 hours with the team and actually wrote a story that I think White Sox fans will appreciate and enjoy reading.
I'm surprised that you feel that way. There were parts of that story that I read, and first of all, so well done, so well written, like an entertaining read.
He's an excellent writer.
I
think that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
It was well written.
The messaging is confusing.
What do you think the messaging is? What was your takeaway?
Don't worry. And listen, I think from a human standpoint, it is nice to hear that those guys are doing okay. I think that's was my biggest takeaway as a person, as a human being. I'm happy to hear that it's not a dark, dark place to be, because that could get scary.
Mm-hmm.
But from a fan standpoint, do you want everything to be all positive Polly there? And to hear that.
I think it's interesting. You, as a fan, you're suggesting that you want the players and the team you're watching ruin your summer, be as miserable as you feel.
Maybe I listen to Mully too much, but you know, I know the brain of a White Sox fan, and I think there's a lot of frustration and anger toward the organization right now.
No doubt.
And to hear that these guys are going in and trying to take a positive spin on this, and there's a difference between the positivity and I think Grady Sizemore trying to build up the confidence was another big takeaway for me, because I think that's really crucial at this point, but it's not really resulting in any changes.
I understand where you're coming from, and I think you're probably right with the way that Sox fans will read that story. They are already kind of miserable about everything that's happened on the South Side this year, the last couple of years, and next year. They're like preemptively, you know, disgusted over 2025. I just enjoyed the story only because it was well written.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that tone from a story like that. When you read a quote from Davis Martin, "We're just a bunch of young idiots trying to make sure we have a job next year." It does describe what most of those guys are, not to say that they're idiots, but they're just a bunch of guys trying to hold on to their livelihood. And you see that. They're not a team. They're a collection of 26 or 27 individuals, or however many they have tried out. They're minor league players in major league uniforms,
yeah,
essentially. And they're trying to prove every day they belong. So I guess I appreciated the fact that they were honest about that. That was an accurate depiction of what is going on. And it was well done. That said, totally get it. You want to read something that gives you kind of more hope for the future or an explanation for what happened, and you got neither.
Right. The explanation is, I think, what was lacking, and there was no real insight into, obviously, I think, as you mentioned, these are minor league players in a major league uniform, but there's no explanation as to how did we get here and how are the players handling literally losing every single day for the most part.
The other thing that came out of that, which is interesting, is that Grady Sizemore was presented by Jeff Passan as a candidate for the managerial job in the offseason, and he'll get serious consideration, which will surprise some people who already have had Skip Schumacher as a leading candidate, some other people in the mix. But Grady Sizemore, apparently highly regarded and thought of in the organization and popular among players.
I wrote this quote down. "He enjoys managing, really enjoys it, even amid all the losses. When he walks through the clubhouse after games and pats players on the back, they appreciate his demeanor. He is positive without sounding fake, simultaneously thoughtful and supportive. In the offseason, as Getz chooses a new full-time manager, Sizemore's efforts over the season's final 2 months are almost certain to earn him serious consideration."
So I read that and I think he's a former player who can relate to players well. And we saw them kind of respond to that early on in his tenure. They got the T-shirts with his likeness on it and all the things. I also think that cynically, if you look at it from a Sox fan perspective, that says he's cheap.
Mm.
He's going to be affordable. And you're not going to have to pay him what you would have to pay somebody who's actually proven he can manage. And if you're going to sacrifice next season, as it sounds like they expect to do, then it makes a lot of sense to project him as a legitimate candidate.
The one line in there, I didn't write this one down, so I'm paraphrasing, but it's, he's 42 but looks 30, you know, could pull off his 30. And he's, I think he relates to these guys. And they even talk about in the article about, you know, what he's been through as a player, as a person, as a dad. And I think all those things play a part into why, you know, maybe that positive energy is coming through finally.
And the other thing that was revealed in the story, we'll get to it during the pick six because there's a question related to it, is that they decided to hire, or they have employed, Brian Mailer, a former Harvard lacrosse player and Navy SEAL with no baseball experience, as the new, wait for it, Director of Leadership, Culture, and Continuing Education. So it is a brand new title for a created job, and they turn to somebody who has no experience in baseball. Brilliant.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Brilliant. So that was another thing that a lot of people might be excited about because it's a new way of doing business, and they might be baffled by because it's the White Sox. So we'll talk about that during the pick six. Cubs and Sox, both losers last night. But hey, it's Wednesday. It's look ahead Wednesday, and the Bears are back to work.
Turn the page Wednesday. Look ahead Wednesday. Turn the page Wednesday.
Whatever you wish. You are Dr. Ruthie.
Right. But also, it's my first day here this week, so like I feel like we can still talk about Sunday.
We need to look back at Sunday.
Yeah.
Lessons learned. Things that we saw that you didn't want to look at. Mm. Things that were revealed. Also, it's a good day to get back to work because you're playing the Colts, and it's an opportunity against a team that is weakest at the part of your offense that you need to get strongest. So they don't stop the run, and you need to establish the run. It's a good opportunity. This is a good matchup for the Bears.
I think it's a perfect matchup for the Bears to get straight on offense and to keep up all the defensive firepower, because I think Anthony Richardson, as we've seen in the first 2 weeks of the season, is malleable to turn the ball over. You can get him to do certain things where I think this is going to be a go get the ball and give your offense good field position or score on defense, please.
Scale of 1 to 10, worry level about Caleb Williams after two games.
I'm at a, from 1 to 10, 10 being really worried.
10 being really worried. 10 being
10
like,
being like 10, 10 bench being him.
Already looking at the 2025 draft or the 2026 draft.
I'm at a 3.
Yeah.
I'm really low on that scale. I think he, what did we think it was going to look like? It's kind of where I'm at right now. And I think he's a rookie. He's played two NFL games against two really good defenses. The Houston Texans, by the way, could play in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's how good this team is.
They're one of the best teams in the AFC.
And Caleb Williams had the ball in his hands with a minute 30 to go and had a chance to go win it. And by the way, was kind of doing some good things in that at the end of the game there, and kind of was just like playing more free, it felt like. Obviously, you turn the ball over. Not great. But there was some hope there. And I'm like, oh, it was almost like this screw it mentality. I'm just going to go try and win the game. And I think that's when he stops thinking so much and also has more time and they can establish a run
game. The time factor is huge.
I don't want to see Coleman Shelton in Caleb Williams' lap anymore. I think where my frustration lies. With a rookie quarterback, you have to protect him. You have to give him time because he's thinking a lot right now.
You do. He's thinking a lot, and he's taking a lot of punishment, and you wonder how schematically they can help him. You wonder how personnel-wise if there will be changes. You think that it's got to get better because offensive line-wise, it can't get much worse. Seven sacks and all the pressures, and the blitz rate against the Bears is going to stay probably in that 30 to 40%, 35% or more all season long until they prove that they can beat it. And you beat the blitz a variety of ways, but DeMeco Ryans exposed the Bears early on. Good defense or not, that is going to be the way that the defenses attack the Bears and Caleb Williams.
100%. And I think when you can establish a run game, which I'm still very puzzled by why they can't get this thing cooking when you were one of the best teams to run the football at the end of last year, what's the issue here and what do we need to do to fix it? And I want to see some accountability taken by the players, the coaches, the organization, the front office. We got to figure this thing out because we're seeing what happens when you break a number one overall pick. And I don't want to see that here.
We're going to talk about it all show long. We got Joe Ostrowski, 6:45, Dan Weeder from Take the North and the Chicago Tribune at 7:25. Ozzie Guillen joined us at 8. Tommy Hotovy, 8:25, the Cubs pitching coach. And Stacey Dales from the NFL Network will join us at 9 o'clock. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. It's the Mully and Haw Show. The Pick 6 is next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit feelgreatillinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. As the Bears get back to work today at Halas Hall, what's the point of emphasis for the offense that scored one TD in two games after so much preseason hype about the explosiveness of this unit? Do you expect any personnel changes? Care to suggest any?
I think the Bears are, to overstate it a little bit, in a state of shock. Offensively, we said after the draft, they drafted touchdowns. When they traded for Keenan Allen, people were doing cartwheels. And this was supposed to be the team that was different. Oh, they're going to score 25, 26 points a game. And if they can just do that with that defense, this is a playoff team. What happened to that team? What happened to those guys? So I think they returned to work today realizing, having to realize and acknowledge the fact this is a broken offense. And it's broken up front, and you don't have an identity, and your identity can't be you're going to be the team that sticks with your rookie quarterback through thick and thin. They should, and they will, because he's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is you can't protect him. But related to that is the fact that you can't run the football. And when you can't run the football, any level of football, you're not going to get done what you need to get done. So I would suggest a couple things to look at personnel-wise. I would reevaluate my right guard in Nate Davis. I would consider what other options I have at center. I think Coleman Shelton is a guy that obviously can get people lined up, but I don't know what value there is in getting people lined up if you're going to get run over. Lining up. This is where you're going to line up. This is who you're going to block when they steamroll you. I'm not sure how valuable that really is if you can't protect anybody. So I would look at my offensive line changes. I would not be that concerned at running back. Obviously, I still have a lot of confidence in DeAndre Swift. You might want to get Roschon Johnson involved. I know people are clamoring for Khalil Herbert. But personnel-wise, you might want to think about, and this is more scheme than anything, but when you do pass on third and long or second and long, you might want to keep in a tight end. You might have to reduce the number of receivers out on pass routes. You need to protect the quarterback, give him time to find people, because when you do, he will work. So you have a you have open competition maybe on the offensive line, maybe consider some tweaking, but you've got to fix what's broken, and what's broken is the running game.
So Nate Davis finds a seat on the bench. Matt Pryor moves into right guard. That's what I would do. He seems like a mauler from the preseason stuff we saw on him. And, yeah, I mean, absolutely positive. You have to establish a running game so that teams can't just sit there and pin their ears back and blitz you all day long.
Unoriginal thoughts here, but you got to establish the run. I don't really care about explosive plays right now. I don't care about doing anything exciting. You need to move the football. You need to establish the run. And you just have to trust that the explosives will come when you find your identity and you protect your quarterback. I think you just have to get into an offensive rhythm and figure out the basics before you can have fun and before we can see the fun parts of Caleb Williams and what he can do. And then you said people are clamoring for Khalil Herbert. Yes, I am clamoring. He was averaging 4.6 yards a carry last year. Like, what are we trying to prove that we don't need him for?
How many carries? I know that he has a higher yards per carry average.
Roshan 4.3.
Than a lot. Maybe you do try him. I think he is your
you gotta try
downhill
something.
Runner. Well, DeAndre Swift has 24 carries for 48 yards. Nobody expected that. But I don't know if it's all on him.
I don't think it is. And I'll be fair. But I think in order just to switch things up, give those guys that worked for you last year, give them a shot in this offense. And with that being said, you obviously have to block. I'm with you. Nate Davis, I think you need to make a statement. Sit him down. Ryan Pohl said he is the most depth at offensive line that he's had here. Let's prove it, Mr. Pohls.
Ooh.
You know, let's prove it and show us that you have that depth, because what's happening right now is not working. And I think you need to make a statement and change what's going on at your right guard position, maybe at your center position, and figure it out.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He's here at 7:25. Today we'll get a glimpse of the first injury report for the Bears. What are your biggest injury concerns heading into a Colts game that is looking like it's a must win?
Well, the injury report is very important every week. Last week there was curiosity. This week there might be even more. Here's the thing about Keenan Allen. When you look at, I think it was in Mark Potash's Sun-Times story this morning, when you look at what he has done or not done over the last 36 games or so, maybe the stat was Sunday night was the 12th game of the last 36 he's missed. So when you start to think about his age and how many games he's missed, one out of every three since he turned 30, essentially, to generalize, I don't know if that's such a good thing. He's making a lot of money. Is he going to be on the injury report again? Is he going to practice this week? Is he going to develop that chemistry he needs with his rookie quarterback? I know he's Keenan Allen, master route runner, all those things. He's got a Hall of Fame resume. And maybe you don't question these things from a veteran like that, but it's not so much about him as it is about the passing game. They need him more than he needs the Bears. So I hope that he is practicing, because plantar fasciitis is nothing to diminish. And it's you think it's hard to say, you should try living with it. It hurts.
Lingers.
It lingers, and it's not something to mess around with. So any other surprises on the injury report you don't want to see a defensive lineman pop up like a DeMarcus Walker, for instance? You don't want to see anybody who maybe woke up Monday more sore or injured than they thought they were when the game ended? A lot of concerns, but the good news is for the Bears on the other side of the spectrum is that DeForest Buckner was placed on injured reserve, which means he's going to be missing the next four games, which means he won't be in the middle of that Colt defense on Sunday.
Well, to your point, David, how did guys wake up on Monday morning? How's Caleb Williams feeling? It can't be too good. We're going to see him today, presumably, right? Unless all of a sudden he's unavailable because he's questionable with just total body soreness after getting his stuffing kicked out of him, as one person said it. Keenan Allen's the guy. They need that guy. I mean, Mully says he's one of, if not the best route runners he's ever seen in the NFL. And if that's true, which he's pretty good, Then you need that guy on the field. He needs that weapon. Does Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I'm curious to see if Caleb Williams pops up there too. He was getting thrown around, and that's your first NFL game where you really got your butt kicked. And I'm very curious to just make sure that he's alive and well. haven't seen or heard from him since, so I really do hope that he's healthy and really at 100%, because he can't afford to be anything less than that. Other than that, I don't think the Bears lost that game because Keenan Allen wasn't in the game. And I think you're going to need Keenan Allen down the stretch of this season. If he pops up on the injury report and he misses this week, I'm okay. It doesn't bother me.
At what point didn't Collinsworth suggest that? Boy, if they just had Keenan Allen here. Boy, if they just had Keenan Allen.
Right. You got DJ Moore. You have Rome Odunze. You have other players in there that can make an impact. And Cole Kmet. Like, let's get, you got guys in there. And if Keenan Allen misses this week, I'm okay. It doesn't affect my perception of how the Bears should win this game. So that's my one. I think obviously on the defensive line, Zach Pickens, you're just not very deep there. That's a little concerning to me. But I think the Keenan Allen injury, I don't want you to push him to get back to go play in the Colts game. You're going to need him long term. So keep it cooking.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, Stacey, you can. How concerned should you be about the Bears? Mario Edwards Jr. of the Texans saying this post game.
Man, he's slippery. He's very elusive. You got to break down and tackle him, and he's real good with his legs.
Seems like on third down, you guys put a lot of, you overloaded that one side a couple of different times. Is that something that you guys saw early on was working and just kind of kept going through it?
It was one of those things that was working, and coach just kept calling, and we kept putting it on him.
Did you sense that it bothered him at all, you know, to start getting a little gun shy? Not like afraid to get hit, but just that it's affecting him the way he's playing because you're hitting him that often?
Definitely. Once I started seeing some guys put some hits on him, he was getting slow back to the huddle. Also, too, once he covered him up, he couldn't see. So he started panicking. So once he started panicking, we knew that's what we had to do.
Is that just post-game trash talk or a label that could stick with Caleb Williams?
You know, I read that yesterday. Brandon Fryer, nice job finding that audio. Hearing it is even worse. Hearing it is the Texans confirming that, in their eyes, they could get to Caleb Williams, Mr. Unflappable. Looked flappable. He looked like he was panicking in their eyes. That's not a good thing to hear about the Bears' poised, polished, present quarterback. And what they did was they harassed him and they made him look like a rookie. And when he said they covered him up, that means that he couldn't see past them or through them or over them, which isn't good. And so slow getting back to the huddle, that's the body language that maybe they were referencing in terms of whether he was frustrated or just knocked around as much as he was. He was compromised to the point where he was slow back to the huddle. So I don't know you want to overreact, and maybe even addressing it is overreacting, but I do think it's something to keep an eye on, because you don't want to hear the word panic associated with somebody who's having problems throwing in the pocket because it's collapsing around him. I think everyone could understand why he would panic seeing Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter bearing down on him and hitting him maybe from the blind side. But you don't want to make that a habit week in and week out. So I think the Bears, yeah, their concern level is high, and hearing it from Mario Edwards Jr. only makes it a little bit higher.
Yeah, great audio there. Great job by that reporter really pushing to get the answer that he wanted out of Mario Edwards Jr. Started panicking. That's something you don't want as a label. But again, I get it. Doesn't mean I like it, but I get it. I mean, this body language thing was not made up. NBC put it out there. Melissa Stark told the audience about that. They kept showing pictures. And I agree. He was just exhausted. But you still have to be involved in the game. You can't be just, every time they showed him, it looked like he was just looking up, staring off into, gosh, is Chicago where quarterbacks come to die? Ugh, is this offensive line worse than the one I had at USC? Like you could have thrown, you know, that bubble, you know, in cartoons.
The thought bubble.
What was Caleb thinking? Label this picture. What was going through Caleb Williams' mind here? That wasn't made up.
I didn't see panic. I saw angst. I saw frustration. I saw anger almost, but I didn't see him panicking. And I don't blame him, even if he was. 36 of your 37 dropbacks were under duress. You can't move the ball. You want to win the game. You're a rookie quarterback. You're starting to feel it. You know you have a chance to win this game.
Right.
And how great would it be if you did win this game?
Awesome.
You know, and I think for a 22-year-old to be thinking of that, I want him to be frustrated there. Think of it that way. I want him to not panic, but be frustrated and mad. That's the kind of demeanor that I want in my quarterback. And he was slow to get in the huddle, for sure. He was getting absolutely thrown around. And you know what? You know, there was that one time that he was slow to get to the line and they bailed him out, called the timeout when they avoid the delay a game.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do it in the second half. They're like, you got to figure this out. And this is on him. He's got to be better at the line of scrimmage and he's got to be better about getting the play call in. The penalties, all that stuff, that all centers around your quarterback and the operation of getting in and out of the huddle. I think that he's got to be quicker, smarter, make better decisions. Am I concerned about his body language, his demeanor, about the panic? I'm not concerned. This guy has had so many horrible things said about him in his college career. He's had way worse things said about him. I think he's going to learn from it, and I think it's going to motivate him.
Do you think he will be motivated by it?
That's
That's it. That's the other part of this, is that when you hear this stuff said by your opponents that you just played, it could create, you know, an edge within. That's the hope, at least.
I'm looking forward to the response.
That's a great question.
NFL Films, Mike's caught C.J. Stroud giving Caleb Williams advice after the Sunday night game down in Houston.
Good job out there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
Hey, keep going. Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
How do you think Williams took the advice, and what did you think of it?
Okay, this might not be terribly popular, because I know everyone's like, isn't that great? Wasn't that really cool? It was kind of cool. But C.J. Stroud is a month older than Caleb Williams. And he's talking to him like he's this elder statesman in the league. And I love everything about C.J. Stroud, the quarterback. And I love the fact that he wanted to offer some helpful advice, if you will, from one guy to another. One classmate, maybe, to another. They both graduated high school the same year, didn't they? They're the same age. I do wonder if some of it was because he knew it was going to end up in some audio, video, somewhere. Some Instagram live. I don't know. Don't you think C.J. Stroud was playing up for the cameras a little bit? He said, hey, come back here, man. I got something to say. I want to tell you how to succeed in this league because I have been here all of 19 games. I think it's great. But I wasn't overwhelmed by it like I saw a lot of the social media reaction. Like I've seen the look on Brandon Fryer's face. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. I don't know if I want my quarterback to, son, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Just kind of hang in there, buddy. I've been here. Yeah, he had a great rookie year. Nobody else has had a rookie year like that. But I know it's just me, but I didn't like it.
I want more of that. You didn't like that CJ was offering up the advice, or I didn't. Here's
it didn't
what
feel
I didn't
authentic.
Like.
It didn't feel authentic.
It didn't. I don't know if it was authentic, and I think that also he pulled them back in. It's like they were gonna. Hey, nice game, man. Nice game. You want to get out of there?
Well, shit.
You just got your brain beaten in.
Not surprising. Shame on Caleb Williams.
No. Did you see Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes after the game? They could barely look at each other. Good game, man. They're ticked off because Joe Burrow lost the game. Patrick Mahomes doesn't like Joe Burrow having a winning record against him. That's the way a rivalry works.
How about when Tom Brady would lose, he'd run off the field, not even go shake. He was mad.
You shake his hand. But right, you don't have course. To look at him and say, "Hey, come here, man. Let's have a chat."
But I think that's how. Again, I think you brought this up on Monday. If I can go back that far and remember, you talked about the good pregame story that NBC did, talking about how these two, you know, future stars at quarterback grew up and the roles their mothers played.
Loved
and
it.
How they were.
Loved
and it. I just think it was really good. I just think, see, as much as I didn't buy into the hype of C.J. Stroud, I'm like, let's prove it. And after seeing him in the second half, he's not all that. He's good, he's good, but he's not great.
The Bears defense is great.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with him, the football player. Him, the football player, he's an elite quarterback.
I thought it was genuine, and I thought shame on Caleb for not. Caleb could take all the advice for. He's been here for 5 minutes. You're goofing around that C.J. Edwards been here for 19 games. That's 17 more. That's 17 more than Caleb's been around in.
My first takeaway was, dang, C.J. Stroud, you're literally one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and you're a really good guy. That's annoying.
He is a good guy.
That's annoying. Yeah. I was like, are you perfect? That's frustrating for me. I think a lot is being made of Caleb's demeanor in that moment. And I agree with you that I think there's a competitive fire that is different for Caleb Williams. And obviously he just got his butt kicked. Mm-hmm. He was on the ground. He made a dumb mistake to end the game. He knew he had a chance to win it. I think he wanted to get on that airplane as fast as he could.
You're right. And I think I can relate to that.
I thought C.J. Stroud was authentic. And I was mad that he's such a nice guy. And I thought that was a very cool moment for CJ. He wanted to lift Caleb's spirits and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Because guess what? It wasn't all rosy and peachy for CJ Stroud in his first two NFL games.
You don't think it was just for the cameras?
I don't.
Okay.
I think they forget about the cameras.
I'm a jerk, just like the texter says.
That's all right.
It's just you, David. Okay.
That's all right.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. I'll stop my head. I don't even know.
That's the voice of Tommy Hotovy. We've got plenty to ask him at 8:25 this morning, including the Cubs announcing that Justin Steele will return from the injured list to start this afternoon's game against the A's. It's a 1:21st pitch here on the Score. Even though they only have a very remote, slim chance, almost none, to make the postseason, is Steele returning from elbow inflammation now good or bad news? Smart or not so smart?
Well, I don't know that I'm going to be in the minority here, but I don't think it's so smart. I think they should have waited till after the game to see if they won it. They've got nothing to play for. They have no reason to risk another injury or a setback for Justin Steele with two starts left in a season that has gotten away from them. They're not going to the playoffs. He's not loosening up and warming up and getting ready for October. He's getting ready to go fishing, which was one of the more fascinating things in that midday appearance yesterday. He was great, by the way. Justin Steele mm-hmm. is a terrific personality. He's got a podcast. He's a great asset to the Cub organization. You want to keep him healthy. And along those lines, that's why, more than anything, I would rest him, I would sit him, and I would go in Dustin's closet and get out the bubble wrap, and I would put that all around Justin Steele's left arm.
I have been called Captain Bubble Wrap in the past, and I had said on the Fly the W670 podcast, I predicted a sweep. That obviously didn't happen, and I said I expect Justin Steele to start on Wednesday if the Cubs are going for the sweep. And if they are not, there is absolutely no reason to get him out there. Keep him in shape, have him do his bullpens, exercise, be around the team, all that kind of stuff. But all those pitches are wasted pitches. Absolutely wasted pitch. And Justin Steele seems like the guy, like, if he's got it going today, like, he would want to stay in. He'd even push it. Even though I'm sure there's a pitch limit, we'll ask Tommy Hotovy if there's a magic number, if it's 50, if it's 60, that'll be at 8:25. But Justin Steele, thank you for your efforts. You have made improvements. We'll see you on opening day next year.
We said in the opening segment, my answer is one word. Why? What's the point? I think he's a competitor. He wants to be out there. He wants to be with his team. I think in order to be at your best these last couple of weeks of the season, you have to tell yourself that you're fighting for something and you can control what you can control and winning games and putting yourself in the best position to win games. You never know what could happen. I think that's the mentality of putting him back out there, but I think it's silly. It's silly to risk any other possible tendonitis, soreness. Don't do it. I don't like it.
Well, okay, next question.
Voice of Ozzie Guillen. He's here at 8. ESPN.com, or the four-letter network, as I like to refer to it. Jeff Passan spent 24 hours chronicling the worst team in baseball history. Not quite yet, but the 2024 White Sox. Among the fascinating things he reported were plans to hire Brian Mahler, a former Harvard lacrosse player, Navy SEAL, no baseball experience, as the new director of leadership, culture, and continuing education, foreshadowing plans to overhaul the infrastructure of the organization. What's your first reaction to that?
Fascinating story, good little nugget. Interesting that the White Sox have this plan to not just address some of the issues on the field, but organizationally, it's things that they feel like they could do better. My initial reaction was that, like, oh, that's interesting. And then you start to think about it, it was like, I don't know that the White Sox need to embark on this turnaround and think they have to reinvent the wheel. And I don't know that if it's a better way to go about it than going out and hiring somebody from an organization that has done it right. If you want to go big and you want to think big market, which is unrealistic with the right now under Jerry Reinsdorf's leadership and what we hear about them cutting costs, but if you wanted to betray that, go the other way, then go out and get Dave Dombrowski from the Phillies or somebody who has a connection here. Or go out and get somebody and reshape your organization like one, follow a blueprint from one that's been successful. If you want to go smaller market, look at what Tampa Bay or Milwaukee has done. Look at what they are able to execute and go get one of their executives. Copycat. It's a copycat league. I don't know if you're going to get better on the field just by hiring a guy with this very diverse and fascinating background and with a title that is probably new to Major League Baseball. It's an interesting, innovative concept. I don't think you want interesting and innovative concepts necessarily right now. You need practical and fast solutions. So I don't know. This feels very experimental. And I don't think you're in a position to experiment.
This part of the article, and it was, as you guys said, I just want to add on, it was very well written. I was surprised he took on the project, but it was very well written. I mean, who wouldn't want to come to Chicago or wherever for a couple of days on the four-letter network's dime? But why did my mind go to The Natural? Remember the movie The Natural when they're in the clubhouse and Mr. Quaker Oats is the manager of that team? And they've got some guy addressing it, talking about how losing is contagious and losing is a disease. Yeah. and how we're going to break out of losing. It just I know this guy's a Navy SEAL and that guy was just some old guy they brought up in front, but the everybody was rolling their eyes and weren't buying in. The other thing that I thought was interesting though from the article is that, and why you might need this type of person around, is that all of these guys that are now losers and might go down as the most losing team in baseball, they were all winners. They were all the best kid on every baseball team they played in until they probably got to the minor leagues, when they were around a bunch of other guys that won every, Babe Ruth League, every Little League game, every Pop, everything in baseball. Then they went to high school and they probably were all pitchers, shortstop, center fielders, and batted second. And then they went to college and got even more specialized and hit 35 home runs and struck out 10 guys every time they took them out. And now they're a bunch of losers, and it's hard to do. It's hard to do. It's almost like what's going on with Bryce Young in Carolina, right? All that losing can ruin somebody who's got great ability. We'll have to see.
Culture starts at the top. And I think we see that in all sports. And until Jerry Reinsdorf is not the owner anymore, you got to figure out a way to change the top that isn't the owner. And I think if that's a creative, interesting way, this guy sounds like he has a fascinating background. He's smart. He went to Harvard. He played lacrosse. He's athletic. He's a Navy SEAL. He's seen the world. He's done all these things. That's great. Love it. But this is all going to be better when you win. And until you win, the culture won't change. So in order to win, you got to play. You got to pay players. You got to get good players. And you have to change the roster. And I don't know if investing in an executive like this guy, who knows what he's making, right? And this is where you're putting your resources and your money. I think a lot of fans would like to see probably that go towards the roster and the players and to show results on the field. That's what you got to do.
Somebody who is going to offer practical baseball solutions. You want maybe a proven somebody to be a proven executive for your organization, this guy sounds like he'd be a fascinating commencement speaker and probably somebody to be really an asset in your organization. I just don't know if he's going to help the White Sox get back to the playoffs.
Right.
How are you going to do that? You're going to spend, you're going to develop. It's a lot. It takes a village, but I just don't know. Fascinating article. Great little tidbit. And the White Sox, 24 hours with the worst team in Major League history. Sounds like a Netflix documentary or somebody lost a bet.
It actually kind of sounded like Passan had a lot of fun.
It does sound like
he had a lot of fun. If you read the article.
That's why he's a good writer.
Sounds like the guys are doing
okay. That's why he's an outstanding writer. And that is the pick six. We come back. It's the extra point. We're going to talk about Tua. He's on the injured reserve list, placed there yesterday. What does that mean for him? What does that mean for his future? We'll talk about it next. It's Mullen Haw, Ruthie Polinsky, in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Losing is a disease as contagious as bubonic plague.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullen Haw on 670 The Score.
The Dolphins placed their QB, Tua, on the injured reserve, meaning he'll miss at least the next four games. They signed Ravens backup Tyler Huntley. That leaves open the possibility of Tua returning, which is what reports say he's most likely to do. How surprised are you it's not the season-long IR? Do you think he takes another step this season? And should he take another snap this season?
There's a lot there, and I think it's an interesting conversation because of what is at stake. Concussion issue, Tua coming back. We all saw the way that he lay on the ground after a scary hit last week with the fencer's pose and lowering his shoulder and inviting that kind of contact. I think he'll learn that that's not the way that he can't play that way. He can't play football in a way that where he initiates the contact, where he runs the football. I do think he plays again this year. I think he'll play a different style. I think they'll tell him that the risks are there. And we heard passionately from Olin Krutz last Friday afternoon when I was filling in with Matt Spiegel. And Olin, who knows the family, said that there's no way that he's walking away from football. It's some people are out there probably shaking their heads and saying, why? You get inside the psyche of a football player, especially one who does it for a living, and it may be difficult for some people to relate to, but it's who they are. and it's who he is. And so I do think he will be back as soon as possible. If he gets cleared, not just because of contractual realities and all the small fortune that's at stake and the generational wealth that he's accrued, I think he comes back because he can't imagine life without it. He's 26 years old. And had you told a lot of guys at 26 they're going to take away your livelihood, the way that you make a living, I think they would resist that, regardless of the risks involved. And there are serious risks involved. So the Dolphins are doing what they have to do roster-wise. They get Tyler Huntley, a very good backup, poached off the practice squad in Baltimore. They'll make do with Skylar Thompson, but they are holding the C or the spot for Tua, who I think will, once he's cleared, if he's cleared, will come back.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he walks away unless he's told by the doctors in the NFL, you can't play again. That's the only people that are going to take away his helmet and shoulder pads are the NFL. Now, I don't know if he plays again this season. That's what they might want to do because, again, this was a big-time game, nationally televised game. So everybody, it wasn't just your noon kick on Sunday buried amongst 12 other noon kicks. So if he comes back, there's going to be a heck of a lot of scrutiny, and the NFL may try to sit him out for the year for that reason.
You know this, David, but I covered the Dolphins for three seasons. Mm-hmm. I was there when Tua was drafted. I got to cover him for 3 years, including his rookie season, and also the year that he had two diagnosed concussions, maybe one undiagnosed, in the span of one season. And I was there when he was playing Buffalo at home and he took a hit to the head and they called it a spinal cord injury as he stumbled off the field. And then 4 days later, we watched him go back on the field against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. And we all watched it. And we all saw how real concussions are. And then we watched him come back and he got another concussion at the end of the year that he self-reported the symptoms in a game against Green Bay, after a game against Green Bay. And that was it. And he comes back the next year and he says, you know, I'm going to bulk up a bit. I'm going to learn how to fall. I'm going to do jiu-jitsu. I'm going to do all these things so that I know how to take these hits better. And he stayed healthy all last year. And I think everyone was so happy to see that.
And he was good.
And he was good.
He was very good.
He was saved by Mike McDaniel in that offense. And everyone was so happy to see that. And obviously, if you see Tua, you get to know him. He's a fantastic person. He has potential to be a great player in this league. And then this offseason, he took a change in his routine again, and he slimmed down. He said he wants to be more mobile. And we all saw what happened again. On prime time, Thursday Night Football, the world watched it. And Tua's head injuries are cumulative. This is not something where it's, oh, I'm going to heal and then be better. And if I get another concussion, it's a brand new situation and I'll heal and go back out there. These things add up. And we are all learning more and more and more about the long-term effects of concussions and what they mean for these players in the NFL. And I know that it's not my place to sit here and tell Tua Tagovailoa what he should do with his life and his career. But I know that if I was his wife or if I was his daughter, I would be furious if he went back to play football. Because to your point, he's going to learn from these mistakes. Why didn't he learn from the arguably three concussions he had in 2022? What makes you think that this is going to be different and that he's going to learn how to play differently? I personally don't feel comfortable watching Tua Tagovailoa get back on a football field and hoping that he survives.
That is the smart way to approach it, perhaps. It might even be the safest way, obviously, to approach it. I do wonder if, even though it would make you furious or make you react that way, if you're 26 and you threaten somebody's livelihood, and I don't know if Tua can imagine doing anything else but play football.
Of course. But guess what? You have a family and you have a lot of great things. He does incredible things for the community and in charity and for his in Hawaii and also in Alabama and also in South Florida. I know he has a lot of other things that football has given him, this incredible platform to do great things in this world. And he has a lot of potential to be things other than a football player. And I trust me, there, it's hard to hang up your career and your passion and your love. That's a really, really hard thing to do. But perhaps I'm speaking from, wow, you called me Dr. Polinsky earlier. Now we're bringing up my dad again. He's a neurosurgeon. My dad's a brain surgeon. I grew up around learning about how to protect my brain. I wasn't allowed to go on a trampoline. I wasn't allowed to ride motorcycles. I still to this day refuse to get on a bike without a helmet. So I really think that I have this, it's very heavy on me, mm-hmm. what's happening with Tua. And I was really, really upset to watch what happened last week on Thursday Night Football. And I hope that he's okay with potentially this being the end of his career.
She's Ruthie Polinsky. She's in for Mully today. It's Mully and Haw. When we come back, Joe Ostrowski from BetQL Daily will join us with some wagertainment advice on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. And time now to go out to our Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. That's where we find our guy from the BetQL Daily, Joe Ostrowski. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Only in Chicago can you have an Ostrowski and a Polinsky talking sports betting on a Wednesday morning.
Gotta love it.
Oh, I love it.
Gotta love it, Joe. All right, help us understand, why are the Bears a 1.5 underdogs right now, or has it changed? How can the Colts be favored in this game?
Well, there's, I would say, injury stuff. So it opened at 2.5. The Colts were favored, and now it's down to 1. So money came in on the Bears yesterday. Why is it? Because there's belief in the Bears? Not really. It's more so what's happening on that Colts side. An embarrassing loss for them. Like you know the game plan going against the Packers. They're going to run the ball all day because they don't have an option. Malik Willis is the quarterback. And they did that, and they did it successfully. Now, back-to-back weeks. Now, for the Bears side, do they have much of a running game? That's certainly in doubt. But no, the injuries are piling up. They lose their best defensive player. DeForest Buckner goes on IR. They already had their best cornerback, Brents, on IR out as well. Defense has looked soft. So it's an interesting matchup of good young quarterbacks here. But, yeah, that's why the Colts are favored by a little bit. But, you know, it's hard to come up with a strong case on either side. But, you know, guys, there was a lot of movement just based on what we had with the result on Sunday night in front of the entire country. We had movement in the offensive rookie of the year, and we had some movement in the division, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was curious, Joe, what this slow offensive start has done to Caleb's rookie of the year odds.
Yeah, so since Caleb was drafted, he was the runaway favorite. There was a big gap between Caleb and everybody else. That was the case throughout training camp. That was the case in weeks 1 and 2. That is no longer the case. Caleb's not the favorite. Caleb was knocked down. He's not the second favorite. He is now the third favorite. Marvin Harrison takes over as the favorite after his performance this week, after, you know, not being involved in the first game. And the second game blows up, a couple touchdowns. He's now the favorite. Jaden Daniels is the second favorite. Then you have Caleb. He's 4-1 as the third favorite. And a name that I find intriguing after what we saw Sunday, Malik Nabers is +650 after Caleb. I just, because of the 18 targets, and we've seen guys get that New York bump, a lot of voters there. I know he's with Daniel Jones, but it wouldn't surprise me if Malik Nabers stays in this race too. Bo Nix has completely fallen off with his poor performance. But yeah, Caleb falls from the favorite to now third on the list just after 2 games.
All right, Joe, whether it's college or the NFL in week 3, what's the best, what's one of your best bets this weekend?
Well, I would say a couple things that are notable after the first couple of weeks. These huge underdogs continue to hit. So when we've had underdogs of 6 points or more, they are a perfect 8-0 against the spread. I'm not saying that's going to continue. It's just shocking how well these big underdogs have played so far. And history tells us that if, I know it's tough to make these wagers, if you're an 0-2 team, that they do very well against the spread. Last 10 years, those teams have covered 60% of the time. The games that I'm looking at, boy, after Monday night, after the great start with the Saints, now the Eagles are 3-point underdogs against New Orleans. By the way, couldn't the Bears get Kubiak? I mean, I would have liked him as an offensive coordinator. But that's interesting. I think Philly plus three, we're going to see a better performance, even though it's a shorter week there. The Titans, after Will Levis ruins it again for them, they're a 2.5-point favorite over Green Bay. We see this all the time. Teams rally around the backup quarterback. They had a great game plan from Malik Willis. Are they going to do that for a second straight week on the road this time? I have my doubts. I would look to the Titans there. And you guys were just talking about Tua going to the backup. Wow. They're a 5-point underdog at Seattle. That is a big move after Thompson knows the offense. You trust the play caller with Miami. So as a big underdog, maybe you want to look over there.
Great stuff, Joe. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Ostrowski, the host of BetQL Daily, 8 to 11 every day on the BetQL Network. Also, he's talking about Colts and Bears. Before Sunday's game, tune in Sunday morning, 9 to noon, for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Mully, Olin Kreutz, Pat Manley, they will get you set for the game. Then immediately after the Bears game, actually after the Cubs postgame show at approximately 4:30, those three will get instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. All of it right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app. Ruthie Polinsky is in for Mully, and when we come back, what advice would you have for Caleb Williams? We know that C.J. Stroud had some. We'll hear that again. Weigh in on that and maybe offer our own. It's the Mully and Haw Show. Ruthie in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.